Blog Talk Radio.
Up next, the Sports Offensive with JP and Mark.
This is the Sports Offensive with JP and Mark. I am JP. Across the desk from me tonight, as always, is my co-host, Mr. Mark Foray. Mark, how are you doing this evening?
I am so ecstatic that the weather is turning colder. It's supposed
I am
to be
too.
It's like 75 today. It's supposed to be 70 tomorrow. It's be like in the low 80s until like Thursday. It's wonderful because I don't know what happened this year, and I hope this is not a trend, but you know, we were playing softball last night. It was our final game of the year. Buddies did win. So
nice.
Nice way.
Congratulations.
Got ourselves third place after kind of a rocky season. And although it was a ringer team, so it didn't really matter. But and I mean a ringer team, AAA ball players. It's like, really? Is softball really a challenge for you? So anyway, one of the guys on our team was telling us that in Boulder, the humidity level has gone up every year for 11 years now. And, you know, at first you're thinking, well, whatever, just humidity. But the problem is that I guess a lot of the crops that are grown in Colorado only grow well in a dry climate.
Yeah, that's
so
correct.
Corn and hay and all that kind of stuff that's important for the cattle is not growing well.
Right.
And so, like, I guess this one gal, Grace, she was telling us that the hay, instead of growing like 8 feet tall, is only growing like 4 feet tall.
Yep.
And it's like, well, that's almost in half of your entire crop because now the entire top half is gone. So you know, anyway, so that's kind of an interesting tidbit about how different the weather's been and how much more humid it is. It's like swimming through heat instead of like just the dry heat that we got used to for so long.
It's definitely been more humid. I can tell you that.
Yeah, I've hated
have
it.
I bet Mark's gone through a lot more underwear in the last month or so than normal.
Me, I go commando. What are you talking about? But
let's bring in our guest host on the phone lines tonight. As always, the South Dakota Jackrabbit, Nate Double G. Nate, welcome to the show.
Thanks, guys. Mark said it all with the weather. It's great to have something in the 70s where you aren't just roasting. Excited to talk some baseball tonight, fellas.
That's right. Tonight is Major League Baseball night here on the offensive. We are going to talk everything Major League Baseball, trade deadline, our picks for the hunt for October. I can't call it Red October anymore. The Phillies are definitely not in the chase, although they're not going to come in last place. They're not that bad, but Vegas had them picked for last. So I'm actually pretty ecstatic about that. Mark,
you can understand what Vegas was thinking, right?
I know.
I mean, it was kind of a train wreck, but it's one of those things where I think it was good for them that it kind of forced them to go a different direction.
Well,
you know?
I'm surprised they didn't get rid of Howard at the trade deadline.
Well, who's going to pay for
Howard?
I know, that's the thing. no
it's
offense
just like
Howard. No offense.
Yeah, it's
but,
Howard with nobody wants him either.
Well, and that's going to be a problem for the Twins is that contract is big, and I don't know how are they going to get rid of that.
I think they're just going to hope he retires, I think. I don't know. I don't know
close?
What else they could do.
Is he close? Is
that?
He even like close to retiring age?
I think he's 33, I want to say. So, I mean, he's getting up there, but, you know, baseball, those guys play till they're 38, 39.
That's
so
true.
I don't know, you know. And
no,
as long as he's getting paid – as long as he's getting paid what he's getting paid, I'd keep playing if I was him.
Well, it's like when Daniel Tosh used to have that comedy skit about Brett Favre. And it's like people telling Brett Favre that he should retire. It's like, do you know what a starting quarterback makes? And it's like, do you know what a backup quarterback makes? Do you know what a practice squad quarterback makes? It's like, yeah, I'm going to keep doing all of those until I like turn into dust. Sorry. So
tonight is Thursday, August 4th, 2016. A quick score update. Texas is up 2-0 at the end of the fourth on Baltimore, just FYI. And the Mets and the Yankees are tied at 0 in the Subway Series.
Today? Wow, I would not have predicted that.
That's the end of the third in that game.
Who's pitching in that game tonight? Do you know?
It was Colon and
Eovaldi.
Eovaldi? He's... That starts with an E.
I know. I don't know why I said A.
But he's Yeah, Eovaldi, he is one of the most confusing players.
Well, that's what they were
the
talking about.
I mean, he should be good. There's no reason for that guy to be so terrible. And then he had this, like, one six-game stretch. I know this because I had him on my fantasy team. So he had this one, like, six-game stretch where he was terrific. Everything else about the guy has been absolutely dreadful for the whole year. It's just amazing. And then he almost had a Cy Young win. But a no-hitter. Or
a no-hitter.
A perfect game. And I thought he might do it, but thankfully he was on my bench, so he wasn't able to
say
do it.
On your bet. I don't know. I'm not sure if the underwear comment and the bet comment could go to hand in hand.
Commando.
Nate, he did just come walking in with a whole thing of laundry over here, sitting by the couch over here. I don't know. Might have to check those.
Hey, we got a big beer festival going on this weekend.
That's
so
true, up in Winter Park,
fun.
Correct?
Up in Winter Park, and supposed to be in the low 60s up there.
You're going to love it.
For me, is shorts and flip-flop weather.
Exactly.
So,
for me, too.
I'll be loving it.
What's
that? Oh, yes. Isn't that great? Because then that way your beer will stay cold. You know, your sample will stay cold until you drink it. Not that it takes that long to drink the little cup they give you, but... this one does come with a ceremonial cup. This is the same one we went to for one of our friends' bachelor party.
Yep.
And it was a very fun beer festival, so I'm really excited to go back. And
that's cool.
Our buddy Mikey from Chicago is coming in, so we're
Chi-town
taking him up
Mike.
There, and should be a
I
good
think
time.
We've there, had was like, earlier. There was like there was like 10 of us at that thing a few years back, and I think we went 8 for 10 on puking.
Oh,
I just remember one individual. I won't name him because I don't want to embarrass him. But I remember we were sitting there, and the bachelor to be or the bachelor expiring wanted a picture of everybody
expiring.
And the one gentleman on the end, he just rolled over, just leaked out. Oh, that was just you know, but he had a good time. But the thing was, he how's the Jimmy Buffett song go? Something and I rallied and I came back or whatever, you know, so passed out and I rallied. So,
I passed out
so
and
it
I
worked
rallied.
Out. So anyway,
before we get into this, let's just let all our listeners know, you can always call in at 929-477-3204. That's 929-477-3204. Catch us here on the Sports Offensive Live. You can always, it's a live call-in show. Feel free to call in at any time. Mark, let's jump into it.
I feel bad. I forgot to share it on my Facebook page.
Well,
so
we can always do that.
Try and get that caught up real quick here. So anybody, if you wouldn't be listening if you had the link. So anyway, so the whole thing today was we might be doing a show this weekend. I don't know if you and Nate may be able to pull it off if I'm not there. I may be hungover. I may be indisposed. I can't promise what's going to
you
be
might
happening.
Be in the gutter.
Yeah,
you never know.
So for whatever does happen, we did want to do a show today because there was just so much baseball action happened this last week. And so much stuff has been going on in baseball. It's really been a great season. It's one of the few seasons that's different. You know, we've got different teams in the playoffs or in the playoff hunt.
Mm-hmm.
I will say I'm worried that the Marlins are only a game out in the wild card because when the Marlins make the playoffs, they seem to win the World Series. And there really aren't many teams that are more boring to watch than the Marlins.
That's true.
And if somehow the Marlins were able to overcome Don Mattingly's horrid managerial style and win a World Series, I can't even tell you how livid I would be. Of course, knowing the Marlins, they probably said, by the way, when the playoffs come, Barry Bonds is making all the decisions. So,
yeah, Donnie Mattingly, your favorite person on earth.
Dude, it just makes me sick to my stomach. Anyway, I'm sorry. I don't dislike Donnie Baseball. Donnie Baseball is the man.
Well, yeah, there's a difference.
I just can't stand Donnie the manager, and he's a train wreck. So anyway,
he could win manager of the year.
Hey, you watch your mouth.
Those be fighting words, I think. Remember,
you know,
if he goes commando, you better watch it.
It might be the best thing in the world is that, yeah, the Marlins don't know any better. The players just don't know any better. So, you know, they may be like, oh, maybe he's saying the right thing, you know. And the pitchers probably don't know to, like, talk back to him. And, you know, and anyway.
We digress.
I thought what we'd start with, because, you know, this was the trade deadline. That was a big, you know,
huge,
a big
epic
trade
day.
So I thought we would go over some of the best trades in history.
Definitely.
And some of the worst trades in history. Mm-hmm. Deadline deals here, not just trades, because trades can happen anytime.
Anytime.
These are the deadline deals that you're doing to, like, trying to make your team something in the end. And then feel free, if you guys you can think of any other ones, you know, you're more than welcome to add them. But these are the ones that I could think of. First one was, and these we'll start with the great ones, like the great trades. So to me, the greatest one I can ever remember was Randy Johnson. So I don't know if you guys remember this one.
I do remember this one.
So, you know, he was playing for Seattle.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Seattle had a, it was playing well, but that was mm-hmm. Seattle went through that 3-year stretch where they got rid of A-Rod and then
yep.
Randy Johnson and then A-Rod. Or, I'm sorry, Griffey, Johnson,
yep.
and then A-Rod because they couldn't afford any of them.
Exactly.
And they traded Randy, and Randy had been like 3-7 or 2-8 or something abysmal the whole year for Seattle.
Right.
Gets traded to Houston for a couple of good pieces, mind you. He got traded for Freddie Garcia and a couple other guys that actually did, you know, did play for the Mariners
yep.
for a while. But he went to Houston and went, I believe, 11-0 or 12-0 down the stretch. Just dominated. Took Houston into the playoffs. They didn't do much in the playoffs, and he didn't actually do very well in the playoffs that year. But, you know, the whole goal is to make a run, and he helped them make a run. I mean,
yeah.
you never know. You only have so many shots at this, you
That's
know?
True.
So, and he really helped them there, and it is funny to think that some people thought that the Mariners got the other better end of the trade, right? Because the next season they won 122 ball games.
They
or,
did.
Was it 122 or 116? Or
100? Is it either 122 or 116, 114? One of the
yeah,
one of those numbers.
Whatever the record was, and
yeah.
they broke the Cubs record, and well, they broke the modern record.
The modern, modern day record, yeah.
And it was nuts. They, you know, they lost in the first round of the playoffs,
yeah.
and. It's just kind of like with the Warriors, you know, no one's really going to remember.
They're not
going to
remember.
You know, I mean, they might. We might remember the Warriors.
Well,
but,
we're going to remember the Warriors because KD came.
Yeah, we're going to remember them because next year they're going to be insane. What's up, Nate?
I said, or the Patriots when they went 18-1.
Exactly.
Well, who cares about the Patriots?
They
the old
16-0 regular season.
The old Giants, let me catch the ball on my helmet with one hand catch.
Yeah, that's right.
Really? That's it? It's the only reason they didn't go 19-0.
That really is.
That's just disgusting. But, I mean, if there's one coach I don't mind is Belichick. I mean, I know he cheats, but...
Well, I don't mind him either.
Yeah, I don't really think there's anything wrong with cheating in baseball or football or any sport, really, because it's a sport. I mean, you're trying to win.
Yeah, you are.
If you get away with it, it's not cheating.
Exactly.
So, you know, this isn't life, you know. You don't it's not like you know, that's the same thing in life. You don't get caught for breaking a law, you didn't break a law.
Exactly.
So, anyway.
I like your next one here, Price to the Blue Jays. That was
yeah,
a really
that
big
was
one.
Big. I mean,
that was big.
They also got really got a couple other guys. They got Troy Tulowitzki.
They got Tulo.
And they got somebody else and I can't remember who.
Jay Happ. They got Happy.
There you go. And Happ has been good.
Happ
this
has
year
been
as well.
Great this year.
Price has actually started to get pressed. Down.
Yeah.
But, you know, Price, again, faltered in the playoffs.
He did.
You know, he did come apart. But
if I remember correctly, I believe they got Ben Revere as well.
Did they really? Man, they really loaded up.
They did.
And Tulowitzki was terrible.
He really was.
He's been terrible this year.
He's been
just,
terrible this year. I think
just,
the Rockies just realized they got rid of him at the right time.
Absolutely.
I'll disagree with that one, but because if they had gotten rid of him a year before, they could have gotten something.
Well, I'm saying they needed to get rid of him, but they finally ended up getting rid of him. I agree
yeah.
with you that they should have got rid of him earlier.
I love that they got Jose Reyes, had to cut him, pay him his whole $40 million, whatever it was, and now he's playing for the Mets. He's on the DL, but he was playing well when he was playing, so,
yeah.
And he'll be back. Another one, okay, this is obviously a favorite one for me.
Yeah.
It was Manny Ramirez to the Dodgers.
That was huge.
Do you remember the torrid pace he went on?
He really did.
Like
yeah.
runs and like 50 ribbies all in the last like 2.5 months. I mean, remember he had that.
I think he went up 2 hat sizes time too.
And then you know, and then he was almost single-handed the reason that they beat the Cubs.
Yeah.
You know, and I remember, boy, Nate was so mad. I was living with Nate at the time, and boy, did he get pissed off. The Dodgers aren't half as good as the Cubs. And I'm like, well, they're beating them. That's all that matters, you know.
Manny, that was incredible, though. I mean, Manny Ramirez hit everything that was thrown at him. I don't know if I've ever seen a run like that. The guy just went nuts.
I think he found out what it was like to get thrown fastballs most of the time.
Yeah.
And obviously, steroids. So,
yeah,
know,
it doesn't.
And he got caught the next year and benched for 50 games, was it?
At least 50. I think that's the normal benching right now. I think it's up
I think
to
now
85.
It's up. Yeah, now,
80,
now it's
85.
Bigger. But I, yeah, it's 80 now. Nate knows that because one of his fantasy players was got caught. That was huge. I mean, I remember thinking that guy was going to win the Triple Crown the next year and hit 50 homers for the Dodgers. And I think if he had not gotten caught being on the juice, he might have. But
it's very well possible. But he got caught.
He got caught. And that's what happened.
Yeah, I mean, that was basically – wasn't that kind of the end of Manny's career, more or less? I mean, he played
a little bit more.
But he wasn't – yeah, he was kind of irrelevant after that.
Yeah.
He played for the Dodgers at the end of the year, and then he played
– I think they shipped
Marlins?
Him to the – I think they shipped him to the minors for a little bit, and then I think they put him
they
down
did.
To the Marlins.
And
I think it was
the
minors
the
Marlins he signed with, and then
he ended
he
up with the Cubs.
Cubs?
And he played the minors. Yeah, I think he just played the minors for the Cubs. I don't even think they even brought him up.
But I know
just
he just faded
you,
off into the sunset.
Just goes to show you that you prolong your career with steroids that you otherwise you wouldn't be able to play.
Exactly.
So the next one I had written down, now this is another Dodger trade, which actually worked better for the Red Sox. Now,
yes.
This is a little more complicated. I didn't want to get into all the parameters of this. This was a four-team trade.
This was a four-team. I do remember this trade. This was a big trade.
Yeah, so this is like teams from all over the place were moving pieces. But the big part was Nomar Garciaparra went to the Dodgers, and he played well for the Dodgers for a couple years. But the Boston Red Sox got Doug Mickiewicz, they got Orlando Cabrera, and they got Dave Roberts. And those guys were absolutely instrumental in breaking the curse.
Yes, they were.
You know, they got them, and they got somebody else that we're going to mention here in a little bit without – I don't want to spoil the worst trades. They got somebody else that was huge and instrumental in that. But, I mean, Mickiewicz became a huge clutch RBI guy for them, right? And then Dave Roberts became that nice leadoff guy who actually was there before. I think they didn't have Johnny Damon yet. I think they got Johnny Damon the next year.
Sounds about
the
right.
A's, or maybe Dave Roberts batted second. I can't remember what it was, but it was – it really helped, load the bases up for – actually, back then that was for Manny Ramirez and – Big Pappy. So
Big Pappy.
Big Pappy, who's still there. And they also got Orlando Cabrera, who's a very slick fielder. They moved him between third and short and second whenever they needed somebody. And so it ended up being a huge, huge trade for the Red Sox. Probably without that, they probably don't break the curse because that really kind of changed their team.
Yeah, I would agree with you on that one.
And then the next one, I know.
It was funny, real quick, Mark. I don't know if it was 2010, 2011, but the last time the Twins were relevant, they made a trade at the deadline for Orlando Cabrera. And he had a huge, huge second half. Got him to the playoffs. And then, of course, they lost.
You picked him up in fantasy baseball, and he hit like 12 or 13 home runs in the second half of the season, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, he was huge.
So the last one I have on there, I don't know if you want to read that one off. That's you must have liked that
one. Oh, I love this one. Cliff Lee for Carlos Carrasco, Lou Marsan, and Jason Donald. Love that trade.
Yeah, no idea who those last two guys are. Now, Carrasco has been a great pitcher.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
If it's the same Carrasco.
He's been great.
Yeah.
Is it the same? Is that the same guy? The guy that pitches for the
Yeah.
So, I mean, in the long run, that was a great pickup for the Indians or who they got to. They got, yeah, Cliff Lee was an Indian.
Yeah.
And,
Cleveland.
He went to Philly.
Yep.
And then Philly traded him in the offseason to the Mariners and then traded him back.
Yeah.
And then he was good again. And then he was great for a couple more years. And then he had that horrible year where it wasn't his fault.
Right.
But he got he was winless, I think, in the first like 20 starts.
A little tidbit to that one when I was in the Iron Pigs front office, and I knew about what was going on about getting rid of Cliff Lee and bringing him back, because that's when I worked for the Iron Pigs. We all knew that anybody knew it, and we couldn't leak the secret.
That was crazy. I mean, and the thing is, they actually, I think, went to the World Series after getting him back. They went to World Series in back-to-back years,
Back-to-back years.
And they won one and lost one.
Yeah, they beat the
Just
Marlins.
Quick,
I mean, I'm sorry, they beat the Rays.
Quick
update.
Everybody
loses.
Got a quick update. Mark Trumbo just jacked his major league leading 31st home run.
Oh, wow.
Trumbo. I can't believe that guy is actually relevant. It's amazing. He's one of those guys you keep thinking is going to be done. And then he comes back and has another year.
He just keeps coming.
Well, and this year, of course, you know, he always used to be the guy who was like, you could hit homers, but his average was going to be 205, like Rob Deere, you know?
Right.
Like, is he worth the hassle? But this year, he's actually, you know,
yeah,
what can you
do?
Who's he plays for the Orioles?
Yeah, he's playing for the Orioles.
He plays for the Orioles.
Who did he play for last year? Was it Arizona?
Trump,
I don't remember.
He was in Arizona, and then he got traded somewhere. I'm trying to think where. Was it Seattle,
the Angels? I don't know.
I can't recall.
He's everywhere. It makes you wonder about a guy who can always hit 30 home runs, and he can't get a job.
Know.
Something is, you know, why does
There's
that
something
happen
wrong
in,
there.
Something. Why does that happen in baseball? Okay, so worst deals ever. Now, in some ways, these are also the greatest
deals. Quick.
Yeah.
Real quick, I got two real good trades that aren't listed there. One that comes to memory for me, once again because of fantasy, if you'll remember, CC Sabathia got traded, was it to the Brewers from Cleveland, I want to say?
Yeah, and he went crazy.
Right.
And he had like six shutouts in the second half.
He was great, but
took the Brewers to the playoffs.
No, he did great. The team imploded in the playoffs, but he did fantastic.
Yeah, they definitely. Yeah, but that was a huge trade.
I mean,
they gave up a ton. I don't remember who all was involved, but I know it was a lot of big time prospects. I don't know if any of them panned out, but
these have been good for a couple of years now, so it's very possible some of those prospects finally came around.
Yeah, for sure. And then the other one that comes to mind that's not on there was last year, Yoenis Cespedes, that the Mets picked him up, and boy, was he a monster in the second half and took him to the playoffs.
He needs to stay off
they
the golf course.
Yeah, I saw that today. That is kind of a bizarre deal.
I don't remember who they gave up for him. That's why I don't think I put it on there, because I don't think there was hardly anything. They hardly gave up anything for him, if I remember right.
I don't remember giving up much.
The other thing about it was, we got to remember with the Mets last year, they also picked up Chris Johnson, and they picked up like four guys, and they all started hitting. And that's when because remember the Mets were, it was always like 1-0, 2-1
every
game they were losing.
They were real low-scoring games.
Yeah, and then they finally kind of picked it up. So
as soon as they put Cespedes in the lineup, though, that was game-changer. And he was the guy was unbelievable.
He was partially a game-changer until he got on the injured list. But that'll be huge for them going out. They also picked up we'll talk about who they picked up in a minute here. So now these other ones, these are the worst trades. They're not really the worst trades all the way around because the team's made out like bandits, but it's just kind of how badly they screwed the other team, kind of what this is about. So number one on that one is, and this is kind of a blast from the past because nobody seems to remember this guy, but he was amazing for about 5 years. He pitched for Pittsburgh, and the Giants picked him up. So I didn't even know, I did not realize who they traded for him. Ryan Vogelsong has been a pitcher on the Giants for like four of the last 5 years or something like that.
Yeah.
Like their fifth starter. So they somehow got him back from the Pirates.
Yep.
So the Pirates got two guys. They got Ryan Vogelsong and Armando Rios. And I don't think either one of those players ever even hardly played for him.
Probably not.
Yeah.
So
I'm sure we'll talk about it later, but the Pirates have some puzzling moves the last few days.
Very puzzling, I got to say. And then I don't know if I have all the Pirates moves on here or not. I have a little bit of them, but yeah, they were. I don't really understand them. So another one. So Heathcliff Solcomb. So I don't know if you guys remember him.
I remember
he was a pitcher. He was okay. I mean, he wasn't bad. He was like kind of a four, a three, a four. It was all right. And the Red Sox traded him and got Jason Veritek and Derek Lowe. I mean, wow, Derek Lowe was a massive mainstay for them. He actually went to the bullpen for like a year as a closer, and then he came out of that and became a starter, and he had the great sinker ball, and he'd get all these double play balls all the time in the playoffs, and that made him so good. And he even eventually went to the Dodgers for like 3 years after that, and he was good there too. Veritek, he was a catcher, and he ended up being a stud for the Red Sox. And if I remember right, I think he was like the only guy who could catch Tim Wakefield with his knuckleball.
Yep, he was the only guy.
Yeah, and so that was like a big deal to have him there. And then he was also just turned into a great hitter. And so, I mean, considering you get two guys who were instrumental in your winning a title for a guy that career disappeared after this, playing after he was traded, it's kind of a big deal. The next one. So this is one that you've all heard 1,000 times, so we won't drag people into this one too long. But Jeff Bagwell for Larry Anderson. Who is Larry Anderson, you ask?
I was like, I don't even know who Larry Anderson is anymore.
I have no clue who he is. I've never heard of him. I was thinking Arn Anderson from the WCW. Who the hell is Larry Anderson?
Probably his cousin.
What's that?
It's probably his cousin.
Yeah, exactly. But so nobody, I mean, it's just, that's a nobody. And
yeah.
Bagwell was a Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
You know, took him to, even though it, you got to feel bad for the Astros about that, because they had Bagwell and Biggio, the Killer Bees. And they also had
Berkman.
The Rockies. Oh, yeah, I forgot about
they
Berkman.
Had Lance.
Ellis Burks.
Burks, yep.
And they had all those Bees and the Killer Bees, and they just couldn't.
They couldn't do it.
They just never had the pitching. Never had any kind of pitching, really. The best guy they had was
they had Roy Oswalt, and that was about it.
Yeah, Roy Oswalt never turned the corner. He showed all the potential, and he just never kind of.
I don't know. He had some great years, but they just could never put it together.
He was never
dominant.
Yeah, he was never that stopper. You know, he was never that guy that was like.
I don't know, man. He's like 20. How many times did he win 20 games? At least twice.
Well, I can look that up for you. But then again, wins have a lot to do with your team. I just keep thinking that it seemed like every time they had a huge game, he not only didn't win, he didn't really do very well, if I remember right. Like, every time that he would have a big playoff game, that he would get shelled. It's kind of like,
what seems to be happening
so far, you know. He did win 20 games back-to-back. And he had 19 wins a few years before that. He had 17 wins a few years after that, and then nothing else really of note. So, I mean, he had like, 13, 14 a couple of years. So, I mean, obviously he was a good pitcher. I'm not trying to say he wasn't a good player, just that he wasn't enough to turn it all over.
Sure.
So another one that really sticks in my craw and will for as long as I live, and that is when Fred Clair, I think is who the Dodgers GM was. They had just gotten sold by the O'Malley's. They needed to do something to fill that GM chair. So they took Tommy Lasorda, who had his heart attack or bypass surgery, whatever it was. He was no longer the manager. And they had taken him out of the manager's chair, and they put him in the GM slot for a season. And there's three things that he did. Okay, and this is just I'll go over the first two first, and then I'll go over this horrible one here. The first thing he did was he traded Paul Konerko to the White Sox for Jeff Shaw, okay? And when he traded, he said, well, I know we're giving up a blue-chip first baseman prospect, but we've got James Loney, who was okay. He wasn't a first baseman type, but he was a good player. But he called Jeff Shaw maybe the best closer in baseball. And I remember reading an article the next day. This is before the internet, right?
Yeah.
And the next day, I read an article in the paper, and the guy in the paper says, I'm not sure Jeff Shaw's even going to be the best closer in their division, let alone the best closer in baseball. And that was when the Giants
I don't think he was even the best closer on his team.
I was just going to say that.
Exactly. I mean, he was just garbage, you know. And he was never good. He never played for the Dodgers. And not only that, but Tommy Lasorda didn't know how contracts work. This is why you don't have, guys without brains in your GM slot. I mean, I love Tommy, at least just not a brainy guy. And
no, he's a straight up manager.
Yeah, he's a baller.
he's a
baller. Great baller. He's a great manager. But he didn't have any idea that if you traded for a guy who was a 10-5 player, which meant 10 years in the bigs and 5 years of the same team, that they could demand a release or trade the next season. And he did. And Lasorda was like, I didn't know he could do that. And it's like, really?
Well, that's
really,
your job now.
You got rid of one of your best prospects for a shitty closer, and then you didn't even know that you couldn't keep him. So that was obviously frustrating. The next thing that he did was he traded away Denys Reyes, which was not as big a deal, but that was also annoying. But this is an even bigger one. And this was, Tommy Lasorda decided the Dodgers needed infield help, and they didn't have strong double play combination, which they did, because they had Cora and they had what was his name? He wasn't a good hitter, but Offerman, it was Jose Offerman, and they were a fine double play combo. And he trades Pedro Martinez away, and he trades him for Delino DeShield. Now, I know Delino was an okay player for like 4 years for the Expos, but you don't trade away the brother of Ramon Martinez, the only 20-game winner the Dodgers had for 15 years, and who was an amazing pitcher all those years. They just kind of wasted him because they never did anything. But it's his brother, just a sparkling thrower, Tommy Lasorda on an interview, because people were shocked when they traded him. They're like, you traded Pedro Martinez? This guy was in the minors still. He'd been up in for a cup of coffee, but he was still in minors. But they knew he was Ramon's brother. He was touted real high. You know, he was a real big prospect.
Yep.
And he goes, well, you know, we really need the infield help. We really need the infield help. And he said, I really don't think Pedro Martinez has major league stuff. And this is the same Pedro Martinez, if you aren't aware and don't watch sports, who went on to play for the Expos and the Red Sox and win.
Don't forget the Phillies.
Oh, I didn't even know he went to the Phillies.
I watched – here's my Pedro story real quick. he was with the Phillies when I was with the Iron Pigs.
Yeah.
I watched 2,000 people show up to watch him throw a 60-pitch bullpen session before a game. I got to see him throw a first pitch home run out of our park, Coca-Cola Park, in Allentown, PA. First pitch, he gave up a home run. I went down to Reading, the Reading Phils, the double-A ball club for us. I watched him give up a first batter out of the ballpark home run and Redding's ballpark, historic ballpark built back in like 1930. And then I got to watch him beat the Yankees in game 5 of the World Series all in the same year.
That was the World Series year for the Phillies?
That was the year they lost. That was 2009.
But he was pitching for them?
Yes. I watched him give up a first pitch home run in my park. A first batter home run in this double A park, and then I watched him beat the Yankees in game 5 of the World Series.
Wow, I literally had no idea.
And he is a tiny.
Yeah, I don't remember. I didn't remember that. Wow.
He's a tiny person because I was actually standing almost next to him during one of his press conferences down in the bowels of our stadium.
Oh, I remember seeing you see him on TV, like his wrists were as big around as like my forefinger.
Yeah, he's
you know?
tiny.
But he had that. He had
he's
that
got long up. Fingers yep. though.
He could throw that 95-mile-an-hour fastball, and he could throw a changeup at like 83 with the exact
and a splitter.
Same
did he have a nasty splitter?
I think he had like 4 or 5. Good
he had a he had a lot of good pitches.
I just knew that changeup was the strikeout.
But
pitch.
But that's my Pedro Martinez story right there.
So yeah, I mean I think he went on to win 200 games with the other teams, and you know, so it's like you know, way to go, Tommy. You know, that's great call. Thanks for you know, you keep Paul Konerko and you keep Pedro Martinez, and who knows what the Dodgers did over
exactly.
the next, you know, because I mean it was only.
I mean, I would argue Pedro was. Maybe one of the best, if not the best, pitcher in his era.
Oh, yeah. Him and Maddox. It was
you
got to
put him right up there,
the
yeah.
Time. And
he don't forget Smoltz.
Dominant.
Oh, Smoltz was nowhere near those two. Come on.
Oh, but he's still up
good,
to her.
But yeah, but come on.
Maddox
Smoltz
and Smoltz
is
a 1-2 combination? All right. I'm going to digress from that.
I'd say Tom Glavine was better than John.
Wow,
Smoltz,
Jesus. God,
I don't know. I mean, Smoltz was versatile. I'll give you that. He could obviously he was pretty dang good as a starter and an excellent closer.
And then he came back again and was a good starter again. Don't mistake me. It's not like I'm talking about Kobe Bryant where he's just overrated and garbage.
Oh no,
I mean, Smoltz was a great. he just wasn't quite as good as Maddox or Pedro. But anyway, that's kind of my venting on Lasorda's stupidity. The next one, I'm sure you. Now this wasn't to your team, but this is a player that was a hometown hero for you.
Yeah, Curt Schilling, Phillies for Mike Boddicker.
Yep, and that was this was the first trade. So this was before Schilling was anything. This was when he was a minor.
This is the first one,
and he was with Boston, believe it or not. And you know, then they traded him for you guys for Phillies, and he was great for you guys. I mean, that's where he became a star.
Yeah, that's really is where he became a star.
And the only reason you guys went to that World Series was him. I mean, not only reason. I mean, obviously Lenny and you know Nails and Dalton and
Dutch
and
Nails
and
we had a lot of blue chippers there.
You did. That was a good team.
It was.
Those were some good teams. They should have won.
They should.
If you didn't have that closer,
Mitch
man.
Williams,
wild thing. And then
I'm
gonna
throw my meatball thing.
And then you know he ends up going to Arizona and he wins the Cy Young.
Yeah.
And he wins a World Series with Randy Johnson. And then of course the bloody sock and he goes to Red Sox and helps them break the curse.
Yep.
And then destroyed his career because he couldn't keep his mouth shut about politics and ended his time at being on ESPN.
Yeah,
so,
that's true.
And then the last one that I have on here is Sammy Sosa. So we all remember Sammy. Now, that, remember I showed you a picture of Sammy not that long ago?
Yeah.
And what he's done to himself, where he's bleached his skin, and it's just
it's creepy looking.
It looks like a guy who's like a zombie, kind of like, you know, it's like, you know, a, well, a black zombie, I guess you would say, not a white
like
zombie.
Michael Jackson-esque? Like,
Michael Jackson style? Michael Jackson looked, you know, I mean, if you didn't know Michael Jackson before,
if I remember right, that picture is all blotchy skin. And,
yeah, it's just weird.
It's weird looking.
And also, Michael Jackson had all that surgery to make his features more white because he wanted to be Anglo. Sammy just bleached his skin. Left out everything else. Very, and Sammy Sosa, I don't think he's, I don't know what his heritage was. I don't know if he's more like Hispanic of some kind.
I thought he was Puerto Rican.
Maybe that's what it is. Maybe he's Puerto Rican. I don't know. I shouldn't say because I really don't know.
I thought he was Puerto Rican.
Whatever his features are.
I was thinking Dominican.
I was just going to say Puerto Rican or Dominican.
Yeah. Just, well, they're very close.
They're
not that far apart.
Right there.
But whatever it was, his features do not mesh well with his bleached skin. But it wasn't even... It's not even well done bleach, right? It's like, Michael Jackson, it looked, I mean, his skin looked normal. If he didn't know better, if you didn't know him from anything else, you just thought that was his skin color. On Sammy, you can tell something has been done.
Something been
and
done.
And it's creepy looking.
Yeah.
So anyway, so back on topic, he got traded for the aging Harold Baines from, and he went from the White Sox to the Cubs. We all know what happened after that. It was history. You know, 2020 guy, then a 60-homer guy, then another 60-homers, and then another 50-homers, and, you know, had a great career until his bat was corked. Harold Baines.
Dude, wasn't it Super Bowl? It was a Super Bowl.
What's a Super Bowl?
He had, like, one of those rubber Super Balls in his bat. I don't
think
there was a cork.
Oh, I never saw that part. I just remember when he was warming up and he was swinging, like, you know, you swing out your arm in a full circle, you know, to loosen up, and the bat hit the ground and it split right in the middle and all that black granules of cork came flying out. And that was when they, like, that's when he got in trouble.
Call it the bonehead move of the decade.
Yeah, like, what are you doing? Really, dude? It's like you were hitting – are you that desperate to reclaim those glory years? I mean, come on. You're still hitting 35 homers. Don't do that.
Yeah, I uncorked my bat while I was warming up.
Yeah, I know.
Hey, Mark, you got your computer on?
I do.
Look up Joe Nathan trade to the Twins. That was a pretty big one. I can't remember who they picked up. I don't know if it was Johan Santana. Or there were some couple big names in there.
Away from the Twins?
Twins traded for Joe Nathan. But there was like three or four other players in there.
Excuse me.
It was to the Giants, I think.
No, that shows the Giants gave up Nathan.
Well, I'll tell you what. Let's go to a quick commercial break while we look this up real quick. We'll be right back on the Sports Offensive with JP and Mark right after this quick commercial break.
And we're back on the Sports Offensive with JP and Mark. We want to thank our good friends over at ekfit.net and sagemediallc.com for being with us tonight, part of MLB night here on the Sports Offensive. Marcus, what do you have for us over there? Anything?
So, yeah, so I'm looking at the trade that...
you kind of have to put the microphone in your mouth there.
...that Nate was talking about. So, what happens is the Niners wanted A.J. Przinski, the catcher, and cast.
Giant. You're going to say, you're in the wrong sport, the Niners.
Oh, same difference.
Same difference.
They're both terrible. they traded away Joe Nathan, Boof Bonzer, and... Francisco Liriano.
Liriano, that's horrible.
That's horrible.
Liriano, yeah, Twins made out big there.
And, I mean, how do you not love Boof Bonzer? That was Scout's favorite player. So, you know, Brian used to always say that Scout's favorite. You love Boof Bonzer. So that's a hell of a trade. That's, I'd say, you know, to borrow a phrase from the league, if it's a show that if you don't watch or haven't watched, go watch that show. It's on Netflix now. It's actually, the series is over now. They did seven seasons.
I was going to say, the series is over.
What a great show that was. And I think that is the definition of a trade rape. So, you know, good on the Twins for making
somebody
that
call
happen.
The police.
I mean, wow. Dude, what a... let's see. Okay, so that's it for the best and worst trades in history. Now, before we jump into the rest of the baseball trade action and our predictions, wanted to cover an issue. So, you know.
You want to jump right into Bryce Harper here?
Yeah.
This is actually, Bryce Harper's been slumping here after the All-Star break. And something, if you haven't noticed, if you watch Bryce Harper, his swing, it's almost like Phil Mickelson's putting. His swing has gotten different. Now, Nate, you know a lot about this with swinging, like a golf club. When you swing a baseball bat, you start changing your swing around, it's going to really mess with the way you hit the ball.
Absolutely, JP. I always remember with golf, if I was struggling with my swing, the best cure for that was time off. I would take like a week or two off, and I would get rid of all those bad swing thoughts. I would come back, and that's when I played my best. I would come back off a break, no swing thoughts, just swing true and hit the ball great. I think that's what Bryce could really use is a little break.
Yeah, unfortunately.
But, they're not going to give him one, yeah.
He's batting 188 in the month of July is what he was batting in July coming off the break.
Well, and if you also figure into the fact that, the Nationals – they are in first, but they're not untouchable. I mean, they've got people on their heels. They've got the Marlins only what, four games
four,
back?
It's four games back.
And then they've got the Mets have been picking it up. They're playing better. They were playing better. They're actually kind of bad the last 10 games, but they were kind of making a game. So it looks like they're 7 and 8 games out right now. So, I mean, the Nationals have themselves a pretty decent lead, but you know, I mean, the schedule in baseball is unbalanced. So you play your division a whole lot more than you play anyone else, and you do it especially the entire last month of the season.
You definitely
do. You know, they're going to need him to get right. And, you know, Nate has Bryce Harper on his fantasy team, and the guy's been almost dreadful. I mean, he might end up costing you a playoff spot if he just keeps, you know, throwing up goose eggs like this. I mean, what do you think so there is one thing that we didn't even mention that is, and there's a stat called batting average. It's BABIP. It's batting average on balls in play, right? And that's where, when you hit a baseball, what percentage of those hits find their way, you know, into being an actual base hit or get into an out. And there's a very averaged number for the major leagues that seems to hold pretty well for most players. And if your batting average on balls in play is a little higher, you tend to have a real nice season going on. And if it's a little bit lower, you tend to have a below average season in all your numbers.
Very true.
So he was batting a 252 BABIP in the first half. It's now, and since the All-Star break, 103.
That's dismal.
103. And that's not all at bats. That's not saying, how many hits you got out of all total at bat.
Right.
That's how many hits you got out of balls you hit, which taking out all your strikeouts, taking out all the walks, taking out all the pop-ups, taking out the sacrifices,
right.
taking out, you know, this is all just balls that you actually put into play. And the average in the major leagues is like 230 to 270 most years.
Yeah, about that.
And 100?
That's abominable.
For,
yeah.
for an MVP type player?
In,
I mean,
in layman's terms, that stat is the good slash bad luck stat.
Right.
You know, I mean, if you're, as a major league hitter, you're putting the ball in play, you know, to bat 103 when you're that quality, you know, is just it's a ton of bad luck.
Yeah,
so that number's got to turn around.
But when it's gone, I mean, he batted 188 for the entire month of July. That's a long time to be batting that poor.
Really bad.
You know, I mean, I understand what Nate's saying about regression to the mean, right? You expect people to go back to where they are, you know, get back to the averages of what they've always done. And obviously, we know the guy's got amazing talent, and he's obviously pressing. He's obviously in his head. It's bothering him.
He wants that big contract.
He does. He's a bit of a hothead.
He is a hothead.
And I think I'm assuming his agent is Scott Boras. I don't know if it is, but I would just assume
it sounds,
so.
It sounds about right.
Since he's an amazing player, that's who they all have. Because he's that guy's, a heck of an agent. He screws teams over. So I'm guessing that.
Show me the money.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm betting you Scott Boras is in his ear every day. Hey man, we're trying to get $500 million, man. Hey man. We're trying to get the biggest deal in history, dude. Hey, get some fucking hits, dude. So I think that's probably what's happening, and that's probably not helping. Another thing that I read this really cool article about it, and there was this graph, and I wish, you know, too bad we can't show graphs, but
trust me, there's a graph.
Yeah, the graph shows that the trajectory of the ball off of his bat is almost dead to the ground. And it was showing like the averages for players and even his career averages. And the career averages is, you know, it's somewhere in the pie chart where, you know, like the Pac-Man area, right? If you're looking at a Pac-Man, that open mouth spot, that's kind of where most balls come off the bat.
Right.
His are going all straight towards the ground now and have been since his slump started. And it's important to note, he didn't start off in a slump at the start of the year.
No,
he
not
had
at all.
A really good start to the year.
Yeah, he had a great start to the year.
If I remember right, in fantasy, in our league, he was scoring like 40 points a week. And that's a really good scoring. And he's now gone on, boy, it's pretty much week 8 of the season till now. He's had one or two decent weeks, and everything else has been kind of forgettable. And I don't know. I mean, at least for Nate's sake, for his team, he did still walk, and he did still get some steals, and he did get some RBIs.
Right.
But all the big numbers have been terrible.
Gone.
So what do you think? So let's say he doesn't get any better. What does that do to his contract? How much does he lose?
That's a really good question.
Right? I mean,
we
were talking about
the free agent after this year or next year?
I think it's this year.
It's this year.
Because they were talking about the $500 million contract.
Yeah, it's this year.
I thought it was next year, but maybe it is this year.
Contract. I can look it up real quick and see what it is. So,
yeah, usually those teams have control of those guys for at least 5 years. Typically, he's only 23.
So now this says that he's not eligible until 2019.
Yeah, so that's right. It is 2019.
Must have an arbitration year or two. Mm-hmm. And this was this article came out in June 2nd. And they were saying they wanted to get him signed to an extension, right, before he got to arbitration. Because arbitration, they were probably going to ask for $40 million, and he probably would have gotten it.
Right.
So they wanted to get something figured out. They were saying that he wanted to get $40 to $50 million per year for 15 years, so $500 to $750 million. $1 billion, dude. $1 billion. I mean, it's not quite. But if you add in his rookie contract and his endorsements, it's going to be $1 billion.
Oh, God.
$1 billion. Wow. $1 billion playing a game. $1 billion. I'm in the wrong industry.
We all are.
Yeah, I'm mad at my parents.
Yeah.
And I need more athleticism so I could be a superstar athlete. So anyway, just going to be interesting to see what happens. I mean,
he'll get he's kind of a hothead, and I kind of worry what happens if it gets into his head that he can't play. And if he can't, like, is it going to take him to the offseason to straighten himself out? I don't know. What do you think, Nate?
Well, I mean, you're asking somebody that's a little bit biased because he's on my team. But I do think he's a powder keg. So I think, and what I mean by that is I think he's going to explode at any time. There's still 2 months left of the season. So whether it starts next week, tomorrow, or in a month, he's going to have a big – I just have a feeling he's going to have a big run. You know, I don't know when it's going to happen, but it's going to happen. He's just too talented. Even with that big run, though, and that being said, it's still going to be a down year compared to what he did last year. And obviously his rookie season. So,
well,
he
had that bad. He had the bad year 2 years or 3 years ago when I had him on fantasy. He kind of patted out, put it out.
Ago. Yeah.
And what's even more amazing is that he's got Daniel Murphy, I think, batting right in front of him, and I think they should move Bryce Harper to the number two hole and move Daniel Murphy to the number three hole because nobody wants to
pick
Murphy. And maybe he starts seeing some nice fastballs down the fat part of the plate or something. I don't know.
I couldn't agree more. I think that would be one of the smartest things they could do.
Yeah. Something's got to happen. So let's move on to Chris Sale. So I'm assuming both of you guys are
this story. I've gotten bits and pieces of this story.
Is the weirdest.
This is weird.
So, I mean, from what I heard, and you guys correct me if you know different, because I don't know for sure. I mean, I just remember what I kind of read. So, we know that he cut up his jerseys, right? And the jerseys of all of his teammates, I think.
Yeah.
So, they couldn't wear the throat jerseys.
He cut
that
them all.
So, now, I heard that the number one reason was that he felt that they were uncomfortable, that he couldn't pitch well in them, and he wasn't going to waste a start with that crappy material. So, I don't know if that's 100% accurate, but... I mean, I guess I can understand. So what was your story? What'd you hear?
Well, I heard that he was ticked off because, what's his name? Is it Kenny Williams? Isn't he the GM?
Yeah.
I heard Kenny was down in the clubhouse talking about jerseys and, you know, how can we make some money and, you know, these jerseys are great. I think they'll be a good marketing, you know, and more concerned about money than winning.
Oh.
And that pissed Chris Sale off because they had been having a pretty good year up until about a month ago. And then they kind of dropped off. And so I don't know what happened, but I guess he was ticked off because his GM wasn't being very competitive and the focus was on money and not competition, and that ticked him off. But the weird thing to me is he's down there with a knife cutting up those jerseys. All I can think of is like, ring, 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 ring.
He's probably like just carrying down a spider, and he just flipped it open and, you know, just kind of made a statement and – I don't know.
You would be surprised what those players keep in their lockers.
Well, I mean, as a professional athlete, you know, with all that money, you know, and the jewelry and whatnot. I mean, maybe not so much, you know, a white ball player in a Midwestern city as much. But I tell you what, when you go to Vegas or you go to some other places and you see some big burly dudes, and you know, you may not recognize them as being an athlete, but you start to wonder if they are because they're wearing, you know, 4 gold rings and 5 gold chains, and they're huge, and they are burly, and they look pretty dang athletic. And you're thinking, okay, I'm thinking when you're dropping, you know, and those are the guys that are sitting there going, you know, they just sit there and they don't even gamble at the crap table, and all of a sudden they throw out $300 and go, yo, and you're like, that's a one roll bet, dude. Are you out of your mind? You just threw $300 on an 11, you know, but they do it, you know. So anyway, it's just shocking.
Bizarre.
I mean, do you think that, because, I mean, he's got to be – he had to be on the trade market, right? I mean, I heard that the Dodgers were trying to trade him and a minor leaguer for Chris Sale – Yasiel Puig and a minor leaguer for Chris Sale. And, I mean,
Do you
want peas in a pod there?
But do you want this guy after he acts like this? Do you want him on your
team?
That's
a little psycho.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I want him on my team. I'm not kidding. I don't care how strange he is. I mean, he's got
to
be one of the top five pitchers in the game. He's one of the top five pitchers in the game, in my opinion.
Yeah, and this is the first and only thing I've ever heard about him. And you know, as far as that GM for the White Sox goes, and again, I am shocked how bad that team actually is now, because boy, they sure were good.
Well, the two Chicago teams were in first place in both the leagues going into the All-Star break.
It's been an odd season for the White Sox. I don't know if you guys remember the whole Adam LaRoche deal at the beginning of the season.
That was the other thing I was going to bring up, is it's the same GM who caused that problem.
Yeah,
so,
he's kind of a quirky dude, from my understanding.
You would think that GM's time has got to be getting close or short or whatever the word is.
I'd say this could be about it for him.
Yeah, especially because the team just collapsed, like you said. All right, so let's move into other baseball news and actual baseball machinations and whatnot. So first we'll go with the Marlins.
Bienvenido, Miami.
So they were able to pick up Andrew Cashner from the Padres, which he's a pretty good ball player.
He's a good ball player.
And when's the last time you heard about the Marlins trading for talent instead of trading talent
away
from prospects?
You really haven't heard that in a while.
Yeah. I mean, they were only five games back when they made that trade, and things haven't gone the right direction since then.
No.
But they're still a good team. And they also got back another. Well, it's amazing how many things in fantasy go back to Nate, because he had D. Gordon on his fantasy baseball team. Guy has been just absolute stud for 2 years in fantasy baseball and turned into a train wreck because he got caught for steroids.
Yeah.
So he hasn't played since, what, week four, week three?
It's been a long time ago.
Week three,
So he was gone for 80 games. So then they got him back. So that's almost the equivalent of making a trade.
Yeah.
And I think I forgot to put it on here, but I could swear that the Marlins picked up another guy. So, you know, it's like they're making a push to compete and to do something. And like I said, I really just don't want them in the playoffs where they have a chance to win a World Series, because I just won't be able to stand it if Donnie Baseball doesn't screw up his managing with another team like he did with the Dodgers. Unless, you know what, he was a Yankee and he went to the Dodgers, and maybe he hates the Dodgers, and maybe that's why he did
what he did. It's quite possible.
Yeah, I mean, who knows, right? I mean, whatever. I know it's just being silly, but be interesting to see if the Marlins could compete. Nate, you think the Marlins have any chance to overtake the Nationals?
I mean, there's always a chance, but I mean, no, I don't think they will. I think there's a chance, but no, I don't. From top to bottom, they just don't have the
Jose.
I know they've got a pretty good, but Jose's on an innings watch, you know, with his injury last year, so that worries me.
Jose
Fernandez,
Andrew Cashner, and who else do they have? They shouldn't have given up that one dude.
They have Conley. Conley's been pretty good this year.
Yeah.
He hasn't been bad. But other than that, they don't really have anybody. I know Kohler's their number four. And then they traded for that other guy from the Padres who they traded back, which was kind of weird. Yeah, that Chris Ray or Colin Ray or
There's something weird going on with him too. There's one of those things where you know they're not telling you everything.
Right.
Where like there's an injury that you don't know about, and they won't. It's like the other team's like, well, we're not going to screw you over and tell your fans that he's hurt, but we're not trading for him,
right?
Because he's not healthy. So let's move on to my boys.
Your boys, the boys in blue.
Yeah, I'm big on the Dodgers, obviously. So big doings. So Kershaw, slipped disc and, then moved to the 60-day DL. They're talking about whether or not he's going to make it back by the end of the season.
He's eligible to come back August 27th.
Yeah. I think when you're dealing with a back,
I'd shut him down.
shut him down. This guy is the best pitcher in baseball. Man. He was on his way to a historic season. It's not going to happen now. He's not going to get enough innings to be historic.
Right.
He's still going to look amazing. I mean, the ERA is under two. But get him healthy. Get him right. Give him, you know, this would give you, what, 9 months, 10 months to heal before you got to come back.
Which I think he needs.
Right. You know, I mean, if you got to have surgery, go have surgery. Get it done. And I know that they're probably saying, you know, we got to make sure we have an available possibility in case it just comes back. It's a minor bulging disc or whatever they call it. As Mark Schlereth on The Fan was saying, if a minor bulging disc is only minor when you're not the one experiencing it.
Exactly.
There's no such thing.
Right.
And a minor turns into a major one real fast.
Real fast.
Good call, Sting.
On top of that, they moved Ryu to the 60-day DL.
They did.
The Dodgers took some big chances this offseason, and they said they were open about this. They said, we are not playing for 2017 alone. We are playing for the next 10 years. So we are going to make the smart moves, even if it's not all for this coming season. When they let Greinke go, when they didn't sign Cueto, they didn't sign Samardzija, they didn't sign any of those big guys.
Right.
And they said, this is why, because we are building a team to compete perpetually, not just next year and just throwing all our money
away. That should be the overall long-term plan of any team.
It should. And I don't have a problem with it. I even said myself, once Greinke was gone, this is no longer the World Series type team we thought it was. You know, we've got some great players in the minors getting ready to come up here.
Yep.
Let's let the team go. Now they've sent Puig to the minors.
Now, how did this guy go from such a rising talent to a minor league player in a matter of, what, 3 years?
Not even that long. I mean,
he was 2.5?
Last year,
funny
he was
enough,
hurt.
Another and controversial this player that's on my team.
it is like the six degrees of Kevin Bacon or something?
Yeah.
I mean, these guys on my team. Well, Nate likes to take risks in fantasy sports, and a lot of times it pays off for him, and this year it's kind of come back to bite him a little bit. Risks. How does that happen? I mean, from an electric player to so bad, they're saying that his mechanics are horrible, like just disaster-like, that his head is so far gone now that they don't even know how to get him back on track. Like, he can't handle not being a good ball player, and that he doesn't get the mental side of the game.
So,
that he just wants to go out there and swing away with his talent and make that happen. And it's like, you got to adjust.
The question is if he actually plays a minor league game and they go on a road trip, what's he going to do the first time they get on that bus and travel 6 hours?
The Dodgers have, you know, the rumor, I guess, is, or the rumor mill, is that the Dodgers are hoping that this is a wake-up call.
Right.
And he says, okay, I have to get my butt in gear. I have to get myself right. I have to get myself focused and make something happen. But just from what we've seen the last year and a half, I just don't know that he has that in him. I don't know if he has the mental makeup for that, or maybe he's just a little too young for that mental makeup. Because he's only 25 years old.
I was
going
to say, he's 24, 25.
And the funny thing was, because he signed for such a large signing bonus, which is like, I think it was like $28 million or $30 million or something.
Mm-hmm. Sounds about right.
There's some guy was saying that he might retire and move back to Cuba or whatever.
He could live like a big pimping down there with that kind of money.
He
doesn't
have to worry again, you know, and he could be a celebrity. Especially now that the U.S. has normalized trade relations with him, he'll be able to get whatever he wants.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's a very odd situation.
It's very odd.
And not good for the Dodgers. The Dodgers did make some moves that I'm very happy with. They traded to get Rich Hill and Josh Reddick from the A's. Now, Rich Hill has an injury history. He's 36. He's not going to be a long-term solution. But
he's the one with the does he have the blister on the finger right now?
I don't know. I know he's on the DL still.
He's got the really big bad blister is what it is.
Now, when he pitched this year, he was outstanding.
Yeah. I think he's 9-3.
He's had a lot of injuries. Before that, he was on the Cubs. He was great for a little couple years.
Well, he was
in
the independent league when he got discovered.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because they were talking about it on Baseball Tonight, actually, when you went out. In fact, that's exactly who it is. Yeah, he's got a. People are saying it's the biggest blister on a pitcher they've ever seen.
Really?
Yeah, it's nasty looking.
Well, you know, that's how you know a guy's prone when he can't stop from getting blisters. But not the first guy we've ever seen.
But yeah, but I believe he's 9-3 right now. They picked him up. He got discovered in the independent league, just pitching out of nowhere, and became a stud on Oakland.
No, well, he was a stud with the Cubs. When he came up from the
minors.
But so, you know, but they also got Josh Reddick, and Josh Reddick's a very capable outfielder. 2 years ago, he was actually like an all-star, I think.
Yeah.
So I mean, it's not bad, and it gives him, and I think it gave him an excuse to put Puig down. And you know, Puig might have trouble coming back because the Dodgers are about to get a guy called Trace Thompson off of the DL.
They are.
So they're going to have Reddick.
Is that next week?
I think it's like Tuesday next week. So they're going to have Trace Thompson, who's just an amazing athlete. They're going to have Jock Peterson, who's a major power guy. They're going to have this Josh Reddick, and then they have somebody else. I mean, Crawford's been put in the minors.
Yeah, he went down.
Is Ethier done?
Well, Ethier has just never played this year. He's been hurt the whole time, so I don't know what's going on with him. And they also have, you know, they have that Scott Van Slyke, who's Andy Van Slyke's son.
Right.
But he's not an everyday player, so I don't know who the Dodgers are really. I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see how it goes.
We'll see, because they're not. I mean, they're only what? How many games? I get it right here.
Oh, they're real close.
They're two games out, maybe. They're 2.5 games out.
Yeah, so, and the Giants are not playing well.
The
so,
Phillies have just beaten them 2 in a row.
You know what's amazing is that the Dodgers were doing great, and then now they've lost twice in a row to the Rockies, and I haven't even looked at the game. They're in the second inning tonight, 0-0. So, the Mets put up a 4 spot. That's a good to see. So, the Yankees should lose another game, so that's always a benefit for the rest of the world.
Of course.
The Yankees go down.
That damn evil empire.
And the other two things the Dodgers did was they picked up Jesse Chavez from the Blue Jays and got rid of Mike Bolsinger. Anybody who's a Dodgers fan hates Bolsinger because he's blown so many games.
He has.
And they also acquired reliever Josh Fields for Yordan Alvarez. We'll see if that matters or not. So we'll move on to the Pirates. So, Nate, you were talking about this earlier.
Yeah, some interesting moves, to say the least. I know one was, you know, they traded for Jonathan Neese. For one of their relievers, Antonio Bastardo. And they also acquired Drew Hutchinson from the Blue Jays, which I think is a good, you know, a good piece.
He's a good player.
But they gave up Francisco Liriano, who was like one of their best pitchers for, I don't know, I guess they got Hutchinson, but
I just wonder if they've also got Garrett Cole, but I think Liriano is getting to the age where Pirates get nervous. You know,
he's going to make a lot of money, and he's getting older. He could break down for sure.
And the Pirates,
the other
they don't have money to take
is,
a risk
is that they traded their closer.
Yeah,
to the
that was weird.
They traded Mark Manson.
The Pirates are 12 games out of their division right now.
Yeah, they are kind of slipping out into mediocrity.
I mean, so I could
like 4 or 5 teams out of the wild card, though.
Right.
And they've got a good team. So I mean, keeping who they had and then adding 1 or 2 pieces, who knows? They could have made none of those wild card teams are really doing it for me.
No,
it could go to any. At this point, so I mean, the Dodgers
are in the driver's seat for the wild card
because
there's 2 wild cards, you know, and so they're 2 games up, I think, on the second best team in the wild card race, or 3 games up, and then they're only 2 games out in the West. So the Giants or the Dodgers are likely going to get one of those wild card slots if nothing changes. Although we'll see with no Kershaw at all if they can keep holding on.
I don't think that there's any way the Dodgers could make the playoffs, but I could be wrong. They're definitely
just
in the driver's seat right now.
I don't think that they're one of the better teams right now. I just don't think that there is a better team that's going to overtake them. I mean, the Marlins, maybe they can do things. The Mets, well, they better start to hit.
When we get to our predictions, I'll make a comment on that.
True. Oh boy. We can do that. So let's move on to the Yankees.
Spanky.
So the Yankees are sellers.
I love it. I can't believe it. They are sellers. George Steinbrenner is turning over in his grave. He's knocking things down in the ballpark. I mean, he's haunting his sons right now.
But what smart move? You got to say they're smart moves.
Well,
right?
they moved up to be about the third-ranked third ranked in the minors right now with prospects.
They like completely revamped their
minor
league system in one day.
They did some good moves, but Steinbrenner was never a seller.
No. But I mean, got rid of Beltran, which why not? I mean, the guy is creaky, you know, he's old, and sent him to Texas, who Texas can use him. The Yankees don't need him. Might as well play some younger guys out there and you know, get rid of his contract. And so they got some good prospects for him. They got some good prospects for Ivan Nova. Oh, that's who else went to Pittsburgh. They got Ivan Nova. So, not that Nova's been real good this year, but now they did pick up Tyler Clippard, who's a pretty decent closer-type pitcher. But they gave up Aroldis Chapman to the Cubs, even though he hasn't been sparkling as of yet, but it's only been a couple of appearances. They also traded Andrew Miller to Cleveland. So that vaunted Miller, Betances, and Chapman bullpen that they had to shorten games and go the Royals route. Well, they just got rid of two-thirds of it, and they got rid of the two-thirds that were the youngest and the most valuable. So that was a little surprising, but they have restocked that farm system. They're looking real strong for the next couple of years, and there was an interview with Cashman, and he said that their stated goal is to pick up Bryce Harper and to pick up Manny Machado, both in free agency, and bring them to the Yankees. So, what are you hearing? Oh, and so you know that I don't know that they'll get those two guys, but if they did, they'll be all right. But they got to get pitching because they gave away some of their pitching, and I don't know, man. You got to have.
They're down 4-0 right now. Or they were down 4-0. I'm not sure
are, and it's beautiful. But that's an interesting move for the Yankees. But who knows? I mean, they could become
the youth guys
again.
You know?
Yeah. I mean,
they are.
Props to them for having the new.
At some point, they had to.
Well, the Steinbrenner sons are not the baseball people that Hank was or
George
was. They Hank Steinbrenner is more about the profitability and the business side. Whereas his daddy was like, hey, we make my money in construction. I want to build a winner. So, but then again, when the worst thing that ever happened to that team was when George Steinbrenner started saying, I know who we're going to get, instead of saying, who should we get? You know, ask your professionals. Ask your guys who know what they're doing. It's like Jerry Jones, except even worse. But anyway, on to the Braves. This one was weird. So, the Braves acquired Matt Kemp from the Padres, who has a very expensive contract, but is having a pretty good year and have been very hot since the break. But they gave up another really bad contract for a guy named Hector Oliveira, who is now just about to come off of suspension for domestic abuse.
Yeah.
And one bad contract for another bad contract between two small market teams who are terrible. I don't understand why.
It doesn't make much sense because the Braves are in probably last place.
Yeah, they're horrible.
Yeah.
I mean, the Braves are
25 and 15.
And then you get the Padres. I mean, the Padres are actually significant. They're almost 10 games better than the Braves, but they're still terrible. They should be in last place.
The only
Arizona
thing
somehow did it.
The only thing I can think of is they thought, okay, Oliveira, we're not going to get anything for him. Kemp is actually having a pretty good year. I don't know what his contract situation is, but if he's locked down for a couple of years the season, and they could get some nice pieces for him. You know, they weren't going to get anything for Oliveira.
Yeah, I think Kemp is two more years at like $18 million a year. So,
yeah, so, well, I mean, that's actually pretty decent for somebody that, you know, that needs that extra outfielder or even a DH, you know. I mean, Kemp's got some value. He's having a pretty good year. So maybe that was their line of thinking, hey, we can turn this into something in the offseason. Yeah. No, whereas with Oliveira, you're not going to get squat, you know. I don't know. That's the only line of thinking I could gather. Very puzzling.
why the Braves and the Padres are abysmal.
That's true.
So Giants. Now, Giants, you would think would be making a big move like they have in previous years to get to the World Series. You know, they picked up Pence that one year. They picked up Cody Ross and some other players that other year, and they always trying to do something. This year, they did pick up Matt Moore, who is an okay. I mean, he's got talent, although he's never really quite, lived up to his hype,
right,
I guess you would say. And they gave up Matt Duffy, who's a real good third baseman for him, and a couple of minor leaguers. And then they did pick up reliever Will Smith from the Brewers, who's another good player.
Yes.
But they also gave up another few minor leaguers, so they really kind of raided their system.
Yeah, they're kind of jumping the minors out there.
Yeah,
it's an even year, guys.
I know. That's why I don't want. I hate to question. Sabian, because the guy's got three World Series. So I mean,
right,
but then again, only one of those three teams was really a great team. The other two were just kind of got hot at the right time. So we'll see what happens, though. I mean, who knows, right? It's the Giants. Who the hell knows? Let's see. The Twins, Nate, here we go. Ricky Nolasco and Alex Meyer to the Angels for Hector Santiago and Alan Buzenitz. Do you like the move?
I love the move. Ricky Nolasco was doing nothing but making money and pitching terrible. So I love that move. I love that move. I was hoping they'd get rid of him and Irvin Santana, but the Twins need pitching. Santana's pitching well, so I'm happy that they hung on to him. But Nolasco's been terrible. I think Hector Santiago's a young up-and-comer. He's had a pretty good year for the Angels. Love that pickup. Alex Meyer, they tried to turn him into something. You know, JP, he is a former Philly prospect.
Yeah.
He's 6'10". Just a huge, like, Randy Johnson-looking character. Throws 97 to 99, but can't freaking throw a strike for the life of him. So
exactly.
He was a starter. He was projected to be a number one, number two starter when he first came out. And then the Twins moved him to the bullpen last year in AAA to see if they could make, an effective reliever out of him. The guy can't throw strikes. So I don't know if the Angels pitching staff can do something with that, but I'm glad to be rid of both of those guys and happy to see what Hector Santiago can do for us.
It reminds me of when in our softball team that we had up in Boulder for all those years, and we lost our pitcher, and we didn't have a pitcher. And so I was like, I'd like to be a pitcher. My dad's been a pitcher for years in softball. Thought it'd be kind of fun. I believe I threw 24 straight balls before. Said, all right, apparently this is not my game. I'm going to go ahead and move back.
I think relief.
Oh, man, that was ugly. I mean, and I felt so bad because, the hitters were like, dude, we can't swing. These are so bad. I'm like, I don't know what to do. I can't throw it over the plate. I mean, I threw it over the plate, but I just would throw it. I would throw it either really short or really deep. I couldn't come close. So I think we're getting a little close on time. Do we have? Is it going to cut us off after another 10 minutes or 11 minutes, or is it going to let us go extra if we do?
It'll let us go extra. I'm not sure how it's going to work on the upload.
I think we can wrap it up.
We've got 11 minutes right at the dot.
Let's just burn through the rest of the moves.
Yeah,
let's
burn through. There's only four or five more.
We know what the Rangers did. Yeah.
Rangers,
we know.
They acquired
there.
Jonathan Lucroy and Jeremy Jeffress.
And Beltran.
So that's...
I mean, they are just making a huge move.
They are. This is their chance.
This is their run.
They got their shot. They know they've got their division, or they should have their division.
They made another quiet move about a week before the deadline. They traded the Braves for that Lucas Harrell, who I think has got some pretty good stuff. He could be a good number four, number five for them moving down the stretch. But good moves by the Rangers for sure.
The Mets picked up Jay Bruce to go with Yoenis Cespedes. So that gives them a nice 3-4 and an offense that they desperately need. Although Jay Bruce also can be prone to long stretches of strikeouts and no hits. So we'll see. That,
they make a great twosome on the golf course, too.
that had to burn the GM. let's see. Even though he claimed he didn't mind.
Right.
Orioles picked up Steve Pierce, who is a guy who people talk about all the time.
but just never really does it. He just doesn't stay healthy, doesn't stay on the field, doesn't force GMs to put him in the lineup, and that that hurts you. Real quick on the Rockies, we do have to mention this because we are here in Colorado.
Yeah.
Rocktober. The Rockies have won, I think it's either 14 of 16 or 13 of 15.
They're pretty much the hottest team from the All-Star break.
Since the All-Star break, they are. They're on fire, and they are moving their way up.
But they just suffered two injuries.
13 and 4 as of last night.
I'm pretty sure. Terrific, and they're
only
now.
Which was the best record of anybody.
Now, they're 7 games out of the NL West, but they're only, I think, 4 games out of the wild card, second spot.
Right.
And, you know, the Rockies are a game above 500.
Which is a good thing.
On the 4th, or is it the 3rd or the 4th?
The 4th
of
August.
Of August. That, how long has that been? Not a long time.
Since 1997.
A long
since
time.
Right. Whenever October was, right? Was
2007.
2007.
It was the year before the Phillies won the World Series.
Yeah. So, I mean, finally, you know, the Rockies are doing something. Pitching has been great this year, real solid. But obviously the downside, you were saying.
Char Story is gone for the rest of the season.
Yeah.
I think
they're not sure, but they think
he's going to be gone.
He's going to have surgery on his ligament, on a thumb ligament.
Right.
So that's not good.
And guess which fantasy team Trevor Story is on?
He's on Nate's team. but now, to be fair, though, you only took Story on a flyer because you had Jose Reyes, and you thought, oh, you just said, I remember you saying, well, who's going to play shortstop until Reyes comes back? And it was like, it's Trevor Story. All right, I'll take him. So, you know,
that was the best pick of the draft.
Up until right now.
But I think it was more of a happy than anything else. And then just real
quick with the Cardinals.
Yeah, with the Cardinals. I'm just surprised that they sent Randall Grichuk for assignment.
Yeah,
that
is weird.
That guy was like kind of their like darling last season and coming into this year, and I didn't even know he was playing that bad. So
yeah,
that's
really kind of weird.
Yeah, that was really kind of odd. Okay, so we are down to about 6 minutes here, 7 minutes.
One quick last comment.
Go ahead.
One team that we didn't say anything about and didn't make any moves. Shocking to me, the Boston Red Sox.
Yeah, I mean, they did pick up, they got Drew Pomeranz, but they didn't make anything other.
Yeah,
than,
no chatter.
They're right in it. I figured they'd make a splash, but anyway, moving on.
Yeah, that is definitely interesting. Okay, well, Nate, why don't we start with you, and why don't you give us your AL division winners?
Are you writing these down?
Well, I guess I can.
Yeah, that's the fun part. Let's see how accurate we are.
I got mine all typed down for Marcus right here.
All right. So AL East, is that what you said, Mark?
But just all the divisions.
Yep. Just start with the AL East.
Okay, AL East. I'll go Toronto Blue Jays.
Okay.
Central.
Central. I'm going Cleveland Indians.
West.
Texas Rangers.
And your wild card?
We had two of them.
I'm going Houston. What's that?
You want to just pick the winner or just do...
Well, there's going to be two wild cards, so who's going to make the wild card?
All right.
I got Houston Astros and Boston Red Sox with Detroit almost making it, but not quite. They're on the team on the outside looking in. Them and
so
Baltimore.
Yeah, you're saying Baltimore is going to get screwed?
Yep.
Oh, man, that's painful to lead the division the whole year and then just improve. I mean, that's – oof.
They don't have the pitching.
Well, but you could have said that the whole year, but it's been working.
But
I mean,
it's not going to work down – it won't work down the stretch. That's just my opinion.
Yeah, no, I understand. No, I got you.
Okay, let's get to the NL.
NL, I got the Nats in the East.
Central.
I got the Giants in the West. I got the Cubs in the Central. Giants in the West.
Wild card.
My two wild cards, I've got the boring St. Louis Cardinals and the homer pick of the Colorado Rockies.
I'd love to see the Rockies make it, and they could. I mean, there's no reason they can't.
I've got the Marlins and the Dodgers looking from the outside in.
Very
good pitching.
Very plausible.
Mar, do you want to just put the division right now? Mark, you want to go?
For me, for the AL, I actually going to sound very – Nate and I seem to have very similar thought processes. I do think the Blue Jays are going to make a push. I think that they're the most talented team in that division, and they're going to rise to the top before it's all said and done, especially because their hitting has finally come around
yes.
to who they are. Indians, I think, are going to walk with that division. I don't think it's going to be close. I think they're going to end up winning it by almost double digits. Rangers, how do you not pick the Rangers? They've stocked
right.
themselves up to the gills. Astros, I agree, because the Astros are an extremely talented team that did they go to, they were in the World Series. No, they missed. They were in the ALCS last year against
yeah.
the Royals. Boy, the Royals, boy, what happened to that team?
Oh, I
They're
know.
Under 500. It has to happen eventually.
Yeah.
And then I think the Orioles get the other wild card. I think the Orioles are
going Astros
are
and Orioles.
Way up there, and I think that they hang on.
Okay, now do
you
got
Boston? Okay.
Yeah, I don't – Boston doesn't impress me at all. I think Boston is lucky to be as far up as they are.
Well,
I do think the Nationals hang on. I think they're too far ahead. I do think the Cubs, same thing. They're way far ahead. I in my heart, I want to say Dodgers, but if it wasn't an even year, I'd say Dodgers because I think the Giants are playing over their head, but it's an even year. So I'm going to go with the Giants because they just always seem to do it. Wild card, I hate myself for saying it, but I'm also going to take St. Louis because they always seem to do it, and there's no team I want to see less, and they always make it. The other wild card, I think it's going to be the Mets.
Good choices. All right, let me jump into mine here. For the AL East, I also have the Blue Jays. I've got the Indians in the Central. I've got the Rangers in the West. The wild card for me, I'm going to go Orioles and Detroit, and I'm keeping the Red Sox out of it just because they are in the East, and those teams still I was thinking Houston, but the East teams still have to play each other, and I like the way Detroit's kind of just hanging in there behind the Indians.
Yeah.
Let me go to my National League. The East, of course, the Natties. I'm going to go Cubbies in the Central. I'm going to go Giants in the West. And my wild card, I hate saying it, but St. Louis. And I'm going to pick the Marlins to jump in there and actually pick up that last wild card.
Would make for a good, all of those sounds like good playoffs, really. I mean,
it does.
No teams that you hate except for St. Louis. I mean, I hate the Giants, but that's kind of a personal thing.
Well, yeah.
But as far as the Mets.
All right,
as
guys, we got 2 minutes, so I'm going Indians taking the AL, Nats taking the NL over the Cubbies, hard luck Cubbies, and I've got the Nats taking the whole thing. My MVP is Jose Altuve in the American League, Daniel Murphy in the National League. I'm going with Chris Sale for my Cy Young and Steven Strasburg in the National League. And then Rookie of the Year, I'm going with Michael Fulmer, pitcher for the Tigers, and Corey Seager for the Dodgers.
Interesting.
All right.
Go ahead.
All right. My MVP in the NL is Arenado from Colorado. And Altuve from Houston. My Cy Young in the actual AL is looking at Aaron Sanchez, actually. Brumgarner for the NL. Rookie of the Year in the NL is Sager from the Dodgers and Fulmer from Detroit.
Well, you guys both took the same eight rookies. For MVP, I'm going to go with Daniel Murphy. In the NL, I think he's just been amazing. In the AL, I'm going to go with Machado. I think Manny has been the man. Cy Young Award in the American League, I'm going to go with Danny Salazar, assuming he comes back and gets healthy, because I do think that Cleveland is going to probably be in the World Series. I've got Steven Strasburg in the NL, Cy Young, and then rookies, I've got Trevor Story for the NL, and I've got Tyler Naquin for the AL.
That'll do it from the Sports Offensive from Broomfield, Colorado tonight. Thank you, everybody, for listening. And we're off.
Yeah, got a little tight on time.
We did.